And good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Will Johnson. We are live right now, live and direct. So we have a lot to talk about. The Democrats are terrified about November 8th. This November 8th, 2022, they're so terrified that they're willing to do anything. And just, you know what just came to mind, Shannon?
What?
Shucky Ducky Schumer. You remember what he said? Nothing is off the table.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
nothing is off the table.
And it's disturbing because all of a sudden, who's talking about voter suppression and who's talking about the other side of the aisle stealing the election? The Democrats.
The Democrats.
The ones that say that the elections are fair, that the elections can't be stolen, are screaming that they're about to be stolen again.
Yeah, the same ones. And then I love how they said, how they sit there and say, election deniers, like they did not deny the election of 2016. That's all that they did. And guess what? The big tech companies, they didn't suspend anyone's account. They didn't delete anybody's account because they were denying the 2016 election. Actually, anyone who was promoting that nonsense was elevated. And when it was on YouTube, when it was on Facebook, when it was on Twitter, anyone who was denying the presidency or President Trump, their accounts were elevated. People were absolutely able to see them. All the shadow banning, if there was any shadow banning on their accounts, was lifted, was removed. And now we're supposed to believe that because people questioned the 2020 election, that now all your election deniers, really? We're denying that there was 100% legit. That's what we're denying. We're not denying that an election took place. What did take place was a successful coup d'etat in the November of 2020. And that's what needs to go down in the history books. But see, the way it's been in the past, the winners get to write the history. And see, they figure because they won, they get to say that President Trump was pushing a big lie that he won and that they stole it from him, which we all saw the videos. We all saw the mules. We all saw the fraudulent stuff that was taking place. We all saw that they were removing poll watchers so they would not be able to see people cheating. We saw the video of them pushing through multiple ballots through the same machine over and over. We saw the videos. We saw the footage. We saw the proof, and they wanted to call us election deniers. They denied President Trump. They even still do it today, said he was an illegitimate president.
And you know, the sad thing is, hey, everybody, this is Shannon, Will's producer, riding shotgun with him today. You know, it's really sad, Will, is really what a lot of Republicans did is we just wanted our voice to be heard. We wanted them to look into these suspicious things that were happening, you know, have them, you know, and judges just threw it out. They didn't even want to take it up. So when a lot of these Democrats say, oh, you know, it was proven, you know, that it was a lie. It wasn't that it was proven that it was a lie. That's absolutely not true. It was proven. I mean, in some cases, there have been some court cases. Either both sides have won some very small court cases. But in general, a lot of the judges just threw it out. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to get involved in elections. And so that did feel like a big win for Democrats.
Well, it's always been like that, yeah. Right? When it comes to political, and I think, and I've said this before, when I really started noticing it, I said, I think when they go and take the bar and when they go through law school, I think one of the biggest things that they do is that they all agree not to take up political disputes in the courtroom, right? Because they don't want to get in between the Democrats and the Republicans. And a lot of times, a lot of cases, the judges are appointed by either the left or the right. So they try to stay out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, people campaign and give them campaign funds. And so they become loyal to those people that fund them. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's how the political realm works. You know, and we'd like to think that our Supreme Courts, our judges, that they're unbiased, but everything is just so politicized anymore. We just know it's not true. In one way, you know, it's true is because one judge will rule one way and then the other judge will come back and rule completely the other way.
Yeah.
So both of them cannot be right. Both of them cannot be basing it off of the Constitution or local laws. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The problem is that they have found some judges that will lean to the left. that are completely biased.
I mean, there's some that lean to the right. I mean, I get it, you know, but
it's the, my point is that they try to act like they're just right down the middle, down the line.
Yeah,
and
not.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
They've actually demonstrated to all of us that they're not doing that.
I mean, the highest example of that is the Supreme Court. Clearly, we know who's liberal, and clearly, we know who's on the right.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of sad, but that's just the way it is. I mean, that shouldn't, it shouldn't be that way.
It should just be based on the Constitution.
Right? But
it's almost like they shouldn't even have any party affiliation. It should just be, we're going to go with the Constitution. The rest of y'all can do whatever you want, but we're going to go with the Constitution. But they don't do that.
Yeah, and let's talk Let's talk about voting. So, you know, a lot of states now, the elections, voting has started. Early voting has started. And there's an article in U.S. News today that says Democrats have edge in early voting, right? It says that based on, it says nationally, Democrats are outpacing Republicans in early vote so far, according to Target Smart, a voter analysis firm.
So the Democrats are outpacing Republicans.
Right. It says
when Democrats, the Democrats have destroyed our economy, how is that even possible?
It says Democrats have cast 55% of early ballots so far, compared to 34% early ballots by GOP voters and 10% by unaffiliated voters. Now, to me, Will, you know, there was this whole campaign by Republicans that say get out and vote on the day of voting. They didn't want a lot of people to take participate in the early voting. So I'm wondering if this has something to do with it.
I know as a Republican myself, a registered Republican, I'm a MAGA Republican for those of you that don't know. I plan on voting the day of.
Right. And a lot of these are those you know, absentee ballots and also the ballot boxes, which a lot of Republicans just don't believe in right now. They don't feel like that, you know, that they're fair, and they feel like too many fraudulent things can happen with them. So, you know, they want to go in person. They want to be in person. And yep, you can in person in a lot of places too, don't get me wrong. But I think that a lot of the mail-in ballots and ballot boxes are really mostly Democrats. And I think that's just what we're seeing in this.
Well, because the Democrats think that they need to get in there so that way they can get it in there multiple times if they have to. Right. They want to see what their numbers are right now. And so, you know what? I think it's kind of a catch 22. A lot of Republicans are waiting until the day of. And right, I get that because I'm waiting until the day of. But the problem, the catch 22 on that, is that the Democrats are monitoring who's voting and what the votes are right now. So there's going to be no excuse on the numbers because, you know, they should be already counting them, right? They should be already counting them because they're running through the machine. They should already start seeing numbers. And, you know, they want to know those numbers so they can figure out how much they need to include, you know, doing when November 8 gets here.
Right. And one point in the article, it says, does that bode well for Democrats? Question mark. It says, not necessarily, says Tom Bonier, a Democratic strategist who is also the CEO of Target Smart. He said, quote, these are not projections of outcome of or candidate vote totals, since no one knows who these voters actually voted for. He says it just shows a trend that compares to previous elections. So, you know, Will, there could be some of these Democrats that aren't voting for the Democrats. You know, we've seen...
I've seen quite a few Democrats saying that they're not going to vote for the Democrats.
I think, you know, right now we're seeing all these predictions and everyone's coming out and pretty much there was another article on, it's called 35-8, who's watching, you know, these elections and trying to use polls to navigate which way is the Senate going to go, right? And right now they're saying it's a dead heat for Senate, but I don't know if it's going to be that tight of a race. I am hoping that the Republicans just easily take it all, but we'll see, because the Democrats have really been interesting in their messaging these past couple of weeks, which you and I had talked about. We knew it was going to come. We knew that they were going to start putting out their lies, right? Because now they see the consequences of all their decisions.
Yep.
Take it for crime. defund the police. Now all of a sudden they're going, well, crime's really not our fault. You know, it's because of this, that, or the other, right? Or they'll
say it's never their fault.
They'll say that schools, you know, closing down. We didn't advocate for all the schools to close down. You showed a video earlier on another show we did from who actually claimed that they never advocated for schools to close down. That they said that it was more important that the kids had
were in education. In straight
and
up
I was
lies.
Sitting here going, wait a minute, we didn't get that message. And he said they did that early on in the pandemic. I don't recall that.
They never did that. He's straight up lying. But we do have that clip. But before we get to that clip, I want to continue talking a little bit here about the election.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I want to talk a little bit more about the election. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of y'all know who Paul Ryan is? Paul Ryan is another Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger rhino. That's exactly what he is. And he's coming out and he's speaking loudly, saying that no one in the Republican Party wants President Trump. Now, for everyone that's listening right now, how many of you do not want President Trump to return in 2024? It's a legit question. I'm going to tell you this much. I want Trump to return because I want the return of the Jedi. You know, that's what I call him, you know, because,
yeah.
But anyways, I want President Trump to return. The Democrats, they despise him and they don't want President Trump to return. So when you have Paul Ryan, which he claims to be he's trying to act like he's the leader of the GOP, telling everybody that Trump won't win. We won't win if we get Trump. And he makes up this lame analogy to try to depict the reason why we don't want Trump. Listen to this. This dude irks me to no end.
Is Donald Trump electable in 2024, bearing in mind that you have a history with Mr. Trump?
Yeah, bear in mind, I do have a history. Everybody knows our feelings toward each other, I guess I'd say. My point is, we're going to want to win so badly, we're going to want to beat Biden and the Democrats in 2024, that we won't nominate Trump because we want to win. That new swing voter in American politics is the suburban voter. And it's really clear the suburban voter doesn't like Trump, but they like Republicans. So I think anybody not named Trump, I think, is so much more likely to win the White House for us. And it's sort of like what the Democrats did.
I mean, so anyone not named Trump. So he's even talking about Trump Jr., Shannon. He's talking about anybody named Trump, right? This dude, he's so bitter against President Trump. This is what it comes in. He's coming in with personal feelings. Has he not seen the number of people showing up to these events to hear President Trump speak? Are you kidding me? He literally is sitting there saying that you don't want President Trump, that we don't want President Trump. I think he's trying to convince himself or trying to convince all of us to believe what he is saying. Now, listen to how this idiotic analogy that he comes up with, the reason why people don't want Trump.
What they went from Dean to John Kerry in 2004. They went from Bernie to Hillary in 2016. They went from Bernie and Elizabeth Warren to Joe Biden to win in 2020. I think the same thing's going to be for us. We're going to want to win the White House so badly and beat the Democrats. And we know we're so much more likely to lose with Trump because of the fact that he's not popular with suburban voters, that we're going to want to win. And that's
what suburban voters is he talking about, Shannon? What suburban voters is he referring to?
I don't know. You know what? Pence has been traveling around, and if you've seen his crowds, they are not large by any means. They are not even comparable to
nothing.
Trump. People flock to see him still, people. Not like this is the beginning. We're talking about still.
Hundreds of thousands of people throughout the nation.
He's still filling auditoriums and stadiums, and it's crazy.
And you know what? That doesn't even include the people watching online.
Yeah, because I love Trump, and there was one Trump rally that was biased. I just didn't want to go to it. It's an all-day event. It's really exhausting, quite honestly. And, you know, I've seen him speak before, so I was like, that's fine. I love him. I just didn't want to go. And so I'm sitting here thinking, think of all the people that couldn't want to go that wanted to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's multiple times where 50, 60, 100,000 people are watching him while he's in.
Exactly.
While he's on stage.
Very good point.
At an event where 50,000 people are listening to him.
Yeah, if you're watching Right Side Broadcasting, we've seen their astronomical numbers at Trump rallies as well as other platforms.
And you know what? On YouTube, they have 100-some thousand people watching.
Yeah,
on
crazy.
Rumble, they have 100-some thousand people watching.
And it always amazes me because I'm like, how many more times can you watch this man? Right? But people are still invigorated by him.
And you know why? Because what the Democrats keep doing, they keep going after President Trump. This whole January 6th sham. And that's all it is. The January 6th sham. They're doing this to a former president, a person who was in the White House before, because they're fearful of his return. I'm telling you, that is just like, to me, it's just like watching Star Wars, right? You remember, because Obama, he came in with hope and change, remember? But in the movie Star Wars, the first one was New Hope, which President Trump came. And then the second one, the Empire Struck Back. They did a coup d'etat against President Trump. And the third one, Return of the Jedi, right? Return of the Jedi. And they're fearful that he's going to come back and he's going to straighten it up. But I truly hope that the Republicans will do the right thing. They need to impeach Kamala Harris for not doing her job, her due diligence on the border, because Biden made her the border czar. They need to impeach Mayorkas for his fraudulent stuff. They need to impeach Joe Biden. They need to impeach every last one of them. And they need to start at the bottom and work their way up and get all of them. They need to get all of them. So let me finish playing this one. And if you want to give us a call, we're going to put the number in the chat here. But let me finish playing this, and then we'll even say the number out loud.
That's why I think we got a great stable of candidates, any of whom are really capable of not just getting the nomination, but winning the general election.
Are you a DeSantis guy?
I like all of them. Look, I'm not one of these things. I like Ron. I like Glenn Youngkin. I like Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence. You name it. Any one of these candidates would make a fine president. And most importantly, will win the White House. And why would we want to risk giving the nomination to somebody that we know? We haven't lost. My party hasn't lost as much this fast than we have with Trump. We lost the House, the Senate, and the White House in the span of 2 years. I don't want to repeat that. I want to win. And that's why I think we're going to nominate somebody to win.
That is a total lie. Yeah, that is a total lie. And I wish he would have called him out on it.
Yeah.
And said that's not true. Because when Bush was in office, he lost both the House and the Senate. That is a total lie.
Didn't Obama lose his?
Yeah, it sure did. Obama.
It happens often, right? Where there's one in power and people, you know, look for that balance in power. So then the other party gets elected in other house, in other offices. So you know what? This is so huge. Paul Ryan, Mike Pence, all these people are coming out pretty strong. There's even an article on The Hill saying a growing number of Republicans say there won't be a Trump nominee. Now, the only person that I've heard say this are people like Paul Ryan and Liz Cheney.
Adam Kissinger.
It's saying in this article that Mike Pence is saying this, and Jeb Bush, they feel that Trump is no longer viable. That there's, like you said,
of course they are.
Yeah, they have these big megaphones, and they're saying it as loud as they can, telling everybody, "Hey, listen, we don't want Trump. Trump won't win us the White House."
What it is the establishment. La, da, 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 da. The establishment is saying that they don't want Trump. That's what it comes down to. The establishment is saying this. Because they're terrified, because the Republican Party has now become the MAGA Republican Party.
And to be honest with you, I like Nikki Haley, too. I love Pompeo, will tell you. He's one of my favorite dudes. And I also love DeSantis. He's another one of my favorite dudes. But listen to how
wait a minute. Did you notice how when he brought up Ron DeSantis, he kind of skipped over that one?
Yeah, he just kind of like, Ron DeSantis.
He kind of skipped over it.
Right. Newt Gingrich said this in response to Paul Ryan and them. He said, some people like Trump and some people don't like Trump. I get it, right? And the former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich, said he's the most dominant single figure in the party. That's a fact. Like it or not.
Yep.
So
Paul Ryan doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it. He is the single most popular person. I can guarantee you do a poll today, Pence will not be at the top of it.
No.
Guarantee it.
No.
Ron DeSantis might, but when it came to some polling that happened in Ron DeSantis' own state between Trump and Ron DeSantis, Trump still...
He still came out on top.
Out of the water.
He still came on top.
Right now, I'm not saying as a second...
I see Carrie Lake people. One day.
Who?
I see Carrie Lake one day.
I said that. I see
Carrie Lake one day. Multiple people see it. I see Carrie Lake one day.
But I saw Nikki Haley too. She's kind of fallen off a little bit. But
well, Nikki Haley, she kind of rubbed the wrong way after she did President Trump the way she did after January the 6th.
Yeah.
She basically jumped on the side with the Democrats. And saying that Trump, you know, he handled it wrong. She was acting like she was that strong, talking against President Trump. And then a couple of days right after that, she wanted to go to Mar-a-Lago, of all places, to meet with Trump and talk to Trump. And guess what Trump said? No, I don't think so. Look what you just did. I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, you know what? When you burn bridges like that, that bad, that becomes a major problem. Don't expect to get something when you're going to side with these people like this.
Yeah. And you know, when they talk about all these polls that are coming out left and right, which
you know what
about,
I say about the polls,
you know, there's an article in The Hill that says why Americans are concealing their true political beliefs. You know,
they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be attacked. They don't want their family members coming down on them.
Yeah.
They don't want to be doxxed.
Right.
So they socially, don't say anything. Right.
People are just not divulging how they really feel, or I mean, they talk in generalities. Like everybody can agree they don't like inflation. Even the Democrats will say, yeah, I don't like inflation either, right? But will they agree to how it happened? No. They won't place blame. And will they agree on how to fix it? No. So people talk in those generalities. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So if you want to give us a call, and I said I was going to give up the number, and I asked my producer if she would put the number in the chat for everyone on Podbean. The number is 319-527-3453. If you want to call in and chime in, maybe you like Paul Ryan. You know, maybe you like him, and I would like to hear. Maybe you like Mike Pence.
Yeah.
I would like to hear.
So in the chat on Podbean, Sherry said most people pick Trump, and another person said, I like Ron DeSantis and Mark Robinson for 2024.
Yeah, I've heard that one, that number too. But I think, you know
I
what?
I don't know if Mark, I don't see him as a...
You know what? I want Trump 2024. I mean, we need that.
You know what
You know what? Can you imagine? No, just for one second. For one second, President Trump comes back. He wins the 2024. You think that we had an insurrection? You think there was an insurrection?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. They were full-fledged insurrection.
Yeah.
100% the Democrats.
I pick.
Drum roll.
Trump-Pompeo ticket.
Trump-Pompeo?
That's what I pick.
I don't know. I think Trump...
And then in 2028, I pick Ron DeSantis. He has time.
Ron DeSantis and who?
Maybe Carrie Lake.
Yeah, I know. I could see a Trump Carrie Lake.
I don't think so. I think she's going to stay in Arizona.
You think she's going to finish?
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to finish
it
out?
I don't think she would leave it. 100%, I don't think so.
100%?
I'm 100%.
I wouldn't go 100%.
I'm 100%.
Maybe 90%, but 100%, that's a
big stretch.
I think
if she left, it would leave such a bad taste in Arizona, you know, because of how, I mean, it's been a brutal fight.
I mean, look at Ron DeSantis, you know, they think Ron DeSantis, but Ron DeSantis has already made it.
He's got it bad.
He's already made it clear that if Trump runs in 2024, that he's not going to.
But Ron DeSantis has already had a term. Right. Like he's already served a full term. He's done a lot of great things for this state
as governor.
Right. Carrie Lake hasn't yet. So if she was going to run with Trump, she's pretty much going to have to start running right after she gets elected. So I don't think it would happen. I don't think so. She has time too.
Yeah, she does.
Right. So
a phenomenal ticket would be Ron DeSantis, Carrie Lake. Yeah. That's like, oh my goodness. that would be a phenomenal ticket.
The media would not even
Goodness. I mean, they're already butthurt about Trump returning. And you know what? Yeah. Trump is not going to select someone like Mike Pence. And I think personally, the only reason why he went with Mike Pence the first time, because the people that were around him were saying that, hey, he's a Christian, a so-called Christian. He's not a Christian, in my opinion. You know, this is my opinion on it. People might think differently, but all right, if he's falling away, But let me say this. Yeah. I think they only selected him because, you know, President Trump was listening to the people around him, thinking that they were going to give him valuable, valid information, but ended up happening that Mike Pence was a backstabber. You know, there's a lot of people that was in surrounding him that were backstabbers, but you know what? Trump returns in 2024. These backstabbers, they're going to come up. They're going to be trying to come back to Trump, trying to say, hey, let us back in with you. And guess what he's going to do? No.
You know
what? Fired.
I'm sitting here thinking, and I actually think I'm going to switch up. I think Carrie Lake is such a powerhouse. I don't know if she would run as VP.
I kind of think that, too.
I think she would definitely run as a president as well for presidency.
Yeah,
see her being second chair, to be honest.
But you don't see that?
I don't. Kamala Harris, she's not even second chair. She's a prop.
Yeah. I mean, she's like a prop. She's straight up a prop.
I mean, so is Biden in a sense, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk. Can we talk a little bit about this COVID?
I just want to ask. Okay. Yeah, we can.
Let's talk a little bit about the COVID here. You know, because we can talk about COVID here, right? And disclaimer, I'm not a physician, not a doctor. I recommend everyone go talk to your doctor and hopefully you have a legit doctor that's not going to push drugs onto you and try to get you to do something that you shouldn't do be harmful to your body. But with that said,
I feel like I just watched a pharmaceutical commercial. Okay, go ahead.
But you know what? One thing, you know what? You just made me think of something. And all of these pharmaceutical companies, when they talk about different drugs, they talk about the side effects, which can be diarrhea, migraines, abdominal pain, even death. What do they say about the vaccine? Because I've seen these vaccine commercials, and during the vaccine commercials, they don't say any of that. They talk about none of the side effects. Think about that. I've seen the Pfizer ones. They're pushing the boosters, everything. They push them, but they never talk about the side effects in those.
During commercial time, so it could be one was flashing in front of my face.
Unless it's a local commercial, you've been watching that one. I'll be back. They were the plumber terminators.
Oh my gosh, we have the worst plumbing commercial.
She'll watch that one, but she won't watch the Pfizer
ones.
Oh
man, I wish I could block it out. To be honest,
Anyways, listen to Joe Brandon while he's sitting there talking about the vaccine and basically saying not enough people are getting vaccinated. Now, think about this. They were talking about more than half the population was vaccinated now. They were saying this is great. And they were lying then, right? They were lying. They were lying trying to convince you to go get vaccinated. That's what it was about. They were saying, well, everybody's getting vaccinated. I might as well get vaccinated too. That's what they were doing. Now listen to what Joe Brandon has to say.
Good afternoon. I'm here today with my COVID team, as well as leaders from some of America's top pharmacies, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Albertsons. And we're here with a simple message. Get vaccinated. Update your COVID vaccine. It's incredibly effective, but the truth is not enough people are getting it. We've got to change that so we can all have a safe and healthy holiday season. That's why I'm getting my shot updated today.
So if you want to have a safe and healthy holiday season, you got to get vaccinated. Other than that, you're not going to have one, basically what he's saying. And you hear him? Did you hear him? Listen to this.
And we're here with a simple message. Get vaccinated. Update your COVID vaccine. It's incredibly effective.
He says it's incredibly effective, Shannon. He says it's incredibly effective. What about all these athletes that have been killing over, dying from it? What about women that are pregnant going into the hospital and dying because they had the vaccine? But no, they don't want to make these connections. What about the CDC coming out saying, well, you know, the vaccine, or not even the CDC, Pfizer, saying that the vaccine was never there to prevent people from getting COVID? It was never. So what is the point of the vaccine? If this vaccine that is pushing on you is not going to cure you of anything, can you please explain to me why you would get it? Why you would get it? People do it because of fear. They told me I need to get a vaccine, so I'm getting a vaccine. I don't know what's going to, it's not going to help anything, but I'm just getting it because they're telling me to get it. These people on the planet, I mean,
people just get a false security. That's all it is.
Yes.
It's a false security. And they feel like if they don't get it and they get sick, they'll regret that they didn't get it. Right. So they want to err on the side of, well, I'd rather get it and know that or think that I'm protected or that it won't affect me as much. But gosh, I'm not interested in it. And I've had COVID.
Do you still have it?
No, but it wasn't the funnest thing to go through.
Do you still have any of the side effects from it?
Yeah, I still can't taste it that good.
You still have stuff you can't taste?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They say it may last forever. I've tried, you know, the essential oils. I've tried different things. But yeah, sometimes.
It's interesting because.
And I like to cook. So I'm always like asking my son, can you taste this for me? He's kind of a cook too. And so he'll ask, tell me if something needs to be added because I can't
tell.
It's
interesting. So. I went to New York during the pandemic. I went to Florida during the pandemic. I went to California during the pandemic. I went throughout the pretty much, D.C. during the pandemic on the airplane multiple times.
I think Will got sick one day for just like one day. He came home. I think he was just tired more than anything.
Yeah.
He wasn't even sick.
Yeah, I remember I was starting to feel bad when I was in D.C. and I took
Ivermectin.
No. I didn't take ivermectin. I took the
Zyrtec.
Yeah, I took a Zyrtec. Yeah. And I got on the airplane and came home. And then, a couple of days after that, I was back up bouncing around.
Yeah,
so
I
it was
went
like
to a basketball tournament and me and my sons all got sick.
Yeah, you go to basketball tournament. And the thing is that I think I built, I'm pretty sure I built up my immunity going to all these places, talking to multiple people.
And, there's a lot to say for that. But a lot of these people, let's be honest, a lot of these people that passed away from COVID had underlying health issues.
Yes, they had some issues already. And multiple people that already had like heart conditions, they died. And it's not, and this is before the vaccine came out. And it was, oh my goodness, everyone need to get a vaccine. You get a vaccine. You're going to die unless you get a vaccine. Well, I have family members. They say, you're going to die if you don't get the vaccine. I said, so you're telling me that if I get the vaccine, that I won't die?
Here's my thing.
It's going to save my life forever.
I think for the first time since COVID, people are not racing to get shots. And so yesterday, Biden comes out and he's like, listen, there's a new shot and not enough of you are getting it. And you need to get it because we have a health emergency.
You know why?
When just a few weeks ago, he said the pandemic was over.
Joe Biden is a drug pusher.
You got that right. Fentanyl.
Yes.
And vaccines.
Fentanyl vaccines. He's a drug dealer.
100%.
So listen to this one now.
This is a global health emergency. If we really want to put COVID behind us, we have to keep up the fight together.
But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. And so I think it's changing, and I think this is a perfect example.
He's a total hypocrite. Yeah, and I remember when he was doing that, and then the White House had to come back out and say, no, that's not the case. It's not over with. He just sat there and said it's over with. And now he's talking about it's an epidemic.
Health emergency.
And conveniently, right before the midterm election.
And I think, and I'm just guessing, that perhaps the reason why they're doing that is because they feel like that's one thing they got right. They feel like they got the pandemic right. They feel like they got the vaccines right. They made tons of money off of it. Lobbyists made tons of money off of it.
Yeah. But they didn't get it right. They didn't get it right.
I think there was even one report we saw where a lot of these Democrats even were investors in these companies that were pushing these vaccines. So to me, I feel like it's just a time where once again, they want to make people feel scared. And, you know, a lot of people, just like the lady Hochul last night when she was talking to that guy Zeldin that she's running for governor for New York.
Right.
She was saying that you're a vax or a COVID denier.
COVID denier, election right. denier, climate change denier.
So they want people to think that, listen, Republicans are COVID deniers. So once again, you don't want them. Right? We got it right.
Because
now we're in another health emergency.
But when they have fired so many people that were on the front line doing the right thing, and it is unconstitutional. So let me ask you this, Shannon. Remember during the pandemic, they were trying to keep the schools open? Do you remember that? Trying to keep the schools open.
Who's they?
The left. The World Economic Forum, the WHO, they were trying to, we got to do everything we can to keep the schools open so kids don't get behind education.
I recall Fauci, who takes his orders from the WHO, specifically saying that it's better for them to do at-home schooling.
Yeah, WHO and the CDC. Right. They were convincing everybody, don't take your kids to school. And even the teachers were complaining, said, well, I don't want to go to school because the kids may come.
They were scared to get it. And then they were saying families were scared because they said they don't want their kids to go to school, get it, and then bring it home to like elderly grandparents.
Exactly.
And young siblings. And so there was this whole just scare.
Yep. So listen to this representative.
I think there are many of us in the public health community who are arguing for in-person education as safe, doable, really useful for children. There is not one single view, but I think there is no question about it. Many of us believed from relatively early in the pandemic that it was really important for kids to have in-person education and advocated for it. Obviously, I was advocating as an outside, as an academic expert.
He's lying.
Yeah. Do you guys recall them advocating for in-person schools? Come on.
He's lying.
I mean, the Republican states, Texas was ridiculed for trying to get kids to go back to school. Florida was highly criticized for having back in class.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis, he had the kids go back to school and they were like, oh my goodness, how dare you? You're going to make everybody sick. You're going to make everything worse. You're going to make everything terrible. How dare you allow the kids to go back to school? Guess what? Today, Florida's number one when it comes to education.
Well, they're close to the top. Yeah, here in America.
Overall.
In America.
In America, they're number one.
Yeah, because they stay in school. You know what, Will? I actually saw an article, and I should have saved it. It was very interesting to me. A lot of Catholic schools, because they're small schools, right, actually stayed open during the pandemic, and kids in those Catholic schools are scoring higher than the public schools right now.
Really?
Because they stayed open.
Because they stayed in school.
Interesting.
Stay in school. It's cool.
I don't know why I totally like that. That should have been a slogan.
I mean, this is, they said it for years. And I'm like, why didn't they say that? Stay in school. It's cool.
I didn't do that.
But anyways, yeah, you know what? A lot of people didn't do it because, especially on the socialist media platforms, they knocked people off because they didn't go along with the globalists. But remember, just like during the pandemic, when the pandemic was at its peak, they were telling people not to go to school, not to go to work, not to go to movie theaters. They were shutting all this stuff down, businesses left and right. They even told people that, hey, if you get the vaccine, that you won't get COVID after that. Do you remember that? Or if you get the vaccine, you won't spread it. Remember that?
Yep.
Remember that? Listen to this. This was Tucker talking about that very thing.
Well, it's just a year and a half ago that the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, who claims to be a physician, went on MSNBC to say that the COVID shot stops the transmission of COVID.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, they don't get sick, said the head of the CDC. And to prove it, Walensky took the shot and the boosters. She took her most recent shot, the Omicron-specific booster, just a month ago. And then what happened? You know how the story ends. This week, Rochelle Walensky tested positive for COVID, but she's reportedly grateful for the protection the vaccine provided. Now, why are we telling you
this
story?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
For two reasons. One.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They go, oh, well, the vaccine, if they do get sick, they were protected.
Yeah.
Because they would have gotten more sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's so idiotic. Let's listen to the rest of what Tucker says here. It's so idiotic.
Story. For two reasons. One, in order to preserve the credibility of federal agencies and of our healthcare sector more broadly, Rochelle Walensky should apologize for the misinformation that she spread throughout the American media. A. B, this doesn't work, and we should not be pushing it on kids. Now, if Rochelle Walensky wants to get 11 boosters, that's up to her. But kids should not be required to get this as a precondition of being educated in this country. That's insane.
Yeah, the kids should not be pushed on this crap. They're trying to push this crap on the kids. Not only are they wanting to get kids vaccinated, you remember when the pandemic came out, they said it was only affecting the elderly. And then they gradually brought the age down and gradually brought it down and brought it down and brought it down and brought it down. And then they were talking about, oh my goodness, the first baby died from COVID. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And they've never done this planet-wide. They've never done this, and I've never seen this. This is what people did not realize what was going to take place. So I want to play one more clip here, and this is a, like a beauty here. I mean, this is like from one of the dumbest people that is associated with the White House. Who do you think I'm talking about, everybody?
I don't know. I'm like Kamala, Biden, Jean-Pierre.
What is the criteria the country would have to meet for it not to be a national emergency, or is that even a goal?
So here's the thing. We cannot forget that COVID is still a problem. We just had Dr.
The question is, what is the criteria? What is it? What do we have to, what's the plan to get us, right, to where it's not a national emergency?
No, she wants to know why is it? Because they just said it's a health emergency.
Right.
Right. I would say the answer is, if there's an election, it's a national emergency.
Because it's an election. Yeah, but Karine Jean-Pierre, I mean, this is the advice she has for you, everybody. Listen.
So here's the thing. We cannot forget that COVID is still a problem. We just had Dr. Jacques here talking to all of you. He wanted to be here, and we wanted him to be to all of you, because you guys communicate with the American people. And we want that, the American people, to know that there is a new vaccine out there and they need to get that shot in the arm.
There's a new vaccine. There's a new one. Hasn't been tested.
That's all they're pushing. They're not.
Has it been tested?
They're not telling you about.
Has it been tested?
No. But then I could tell you about the criteria. That I could, all they're going to say is, hey, listen, we have a new drug and you need to get it because not enough of you
drug
are.
Dealers. Drug
so
dealers.
So listen to this. Well, we're going to switch it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we can talk about that.
Because I think this is important.
Right.
You know, Will, in the end times, it talks a lot about this great war, right?
Right.
And we know the bear.
This is a war that's going to kill 1/3 of mankind.
We know the bear, which is a symbol of Russia.
Which is Russia. Uh-huh. And then there's the leopard.
Has an alliance with Iran.
Okay.
Right? So we heard last week, I don't know if you guys were on here last week, but we reported how Iran was now selling these drones.
Suicide drones. Suicide drones.
And not only did they start selling it to him, they were actually in the Ukraine operating them for Russia. Right? So now this is huge to me. The White House on Wednesday today warned that deepening ties between Russia and Iran are moving beyond weapon sales toward collaboration on violently suppressing dissent, signaling that the U.S. is watching the new phase of relations between Tehran and Moscow. I think this is huge.
It is.
Right? I mean, it says, Jean-Pierre said they're concerned that Moscow may be advising Tehran on best practices to manage protests, referring to Iran's deadly and violent crackdowns on women. Because today, was it today in Iran, there was a funeral, or there was some protest at a funeral, and Iranian military or
the police,
whoever, just came in and it got real violent. So, and then today, Biden actually put sanctions on Iran because of their violence towards the women.
Right, because it's not looking good. They're constantly they're constantly saying that they're a champion for women and that they're fighting for women's rights. But it took them, how long did it take them to finally step up and say, well, we're going to put sanctions because of women's rights there?
Yeah.
And do you think it's going to make a difference?
I don't know, but Jean-Pierre continues. She said, the evidence that Iran is helping Russia wage its war against Ukraine is clear and it is public, and Iran and Russia are growing closer, closer the more isolated they become. Our message is to Iran is very, very clear. Stop killing your people and stop selling weapons to Russia to kill Ukrainians.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's alarming. I think that it's another move. I think once China gets in there too, because we know that Russia and China have said that they have an alliance together. And now we're really upsetting Saudis, which they're enemies of Iran, but you know, they're not enemies of Russia. Right. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
You know what I find really interesting?
What
is that? What Russia has accused Ukraine of producing a dirty bomb. You hear this? Let me say it one more time. Russia has accused Ukraine of a dirty bomb and conspiring with both the UK and the United Nations against Russia, the Russian Federation, to use the weapon as part of a false flag. Officials claim that the purpose of doing this is because Ukraine wants to kick off World War III.
You know, I'm starting to kind of believe it.
So Ukraine is even saying this. A lot of Ukraine is saying that, you know, not Ukraine, Russia is saying that Ukraine is going to set off a dirty bomb.
Right.
And then what's going to end up happening.
And let's just say they do it. Saying that's false.
Yeah. Let's say they do set off a dirty bomb and it is Ukraine that sets it off. They're going to blame Putin.
The whole thing.
So no matter who sets it off, It doesn't matter who sets it off. It can be someone from Australia. It can be someone from Venezuela. Go to Ukraine and set off a dirty bomb. It's Putin's fault. Putin did it. And so it doesn't matter. So the question is like, they're really aggressively.
Bomb, are you talking like a nuclear bomb?
Dirty bomb, meaning like a chemical bomb, which is illegal. The Geneva Convention is illegal. If they use a nuke or use a dirty bomb at any point, that's when the United Nations will get involved.
NATO said they want to get involved. Well, NATO says specifically they would not get involved unless it was a nuclear bomb.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But a dirty bomb is included in that because you're talking about chemical warfare. And and especially if it goes airborne, it can have the potential of killing millions of people.
We reported that the 101 first whatever regiment of the military is actually now in Europe. They are in full deployment. They are doing practices every day with NATO and European allies.
Yes, over 100,000 troops, American troops
now. They are preparing for war. I mean, this is not a joke. I mean, they're actually doing live rounds. I mean, they are out there getting ready for war. And you know what's scary to me with all of that is we've depleted our oil, our backup,
our national reserves,
what we would use to fight a war. We've given away our surplus, a lot of it, to Ukraine already. So, and we have the lowest numbers of recruitment in our military thanks to the woke agenda. So I don't feel good about this. I don't know about the rest of you. But I don't feel good.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like it either. I don't feel good about it either.
And let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Before, as we're kind of wrapping this up a little bit.
Hold on, I got one more thing I want to share here.
Okay, I'm really frustrated. And you and I, Will, we kept saying, once it gets closer to elections, it's going to get dirty, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've had some crazy debates. debates like I've never seen before, right? Oz and Fetterman was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Zeldin and Hochul, ridiculous. He blew her out of the water.
Yep. Oz blew Fetterman out of the water.
Tudor.
And yep.
She's blown, what's her name, out of the water?
Whitmer.
Yeah, Whitmer. Even
Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis. I knew he would do.
Yeah, he's such a champion.
Herschel. Even Herschel against Warnock surprised me completely. I really didn't think Herschel was going to do that well, and everyone actually says Herschel did a lot better than Warnock. He was even the View prepared. Yeah, even the View was arguing.
The witches on the View even said it, which was really interesting.
But here's the other thing that's really frustrating me is the social media platforms. One ways that we get the most support is through Facebook, and you know people are really hurting, so we're not getting donations and stuff like that. So Facebook is now also hurting us because they're literally making it to where we can't even really go live on there. They blank, like people try to go our page and it blinks and takes them off of our page. You know, you went live last night, Will, and a lot of people are like, I can't see you, but on all other platforms, same feed, people, you can see it clearly on Rumble, Getter,
just YouTube, Facebook.
It was fine. It was only on Facebook, and they were saying it was happening on every other channel. Or, you know, other people are saying you're not the only channel. Every single conservative channel I've been on tonight hasn't been able to go live. Amid all that, one, that's not fair, right? I mean, if you believe in democracy, you truly believe in democracy, you would not shut down somebody's voice. And that's literally what Facebook is doing. They're saying, I don't believe in democracy. I don't believe that every single person has a voice. So we're going to shut down the voice that we don't like.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And because of that, there's a report today on the Hill that says Meta reports second straight quarterly revenue
decline.
27 billion dollars, which is a 4% decrease compared to the same time period last year. And I mean, if you would allow everybody to have free speech, if you truly believed in that, if you let everybody watch who they want to watch and have conversations they want to have,
The reason why they don't do that is because they hate the right, they hate Christianity, they hate the truth more than they love success.
Exactly. I was hoping you would repeat that again today. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They're so desperate that they will hurt themselves.
Yeah. They don't care.
I mean, just like Fetterman. They don't want to lose. They're so desperate that they'll put this poor man on a podium and have him try to communicate. How pathetic is that?
Yeah, just so they can get him to vote the way they want him to vote.
Right.
That's all it would be.
That's all. Just so he'll have a warm seat in a chair to do the vote.
Yeah, he'll keep the chair warm, and then they'll say, okay, you need to vote this way. And that's exactly what they'll do. Okay, so I want to play another clip for you here. You know how... You know how I'm constantly talking about how they go after President Trump, and I say that they treat President Trump like he murdered somebody. Remember how I use that analogy? Yeah. They say, well, you know, President Trump, like he murdered somebody, but we don't know there's a body yet. There's not a missing person report. We don't know if, you know, no one's complaining, someone's missing or anything, but we need to investigate because there might be a murder. Remember how I constantly would say that?
Yep.
You know that, right? You know that, right?
I do. I know, Will. We all know that.
Everybody knows this, right? Everybody knows this. And I've constantly said it over and over and over and over again. Well, guess
just
what?
It's like you're saying over.
Well, guess what? I have something that I want to share with you. And it actually shows that very thing. And I've been saying this I've said it for a couple years now.
Yeah, over and over and over.
Yeah, I've said it so many
just
times.
Just play it, Will. Will's looking for the okay, video listen, while listen, he's
listen, listen,
this.
Listen to what Tucker says. Okay. It goes right into what I've been saying.
People who watch PBS are the ones who are stuck in traction and the attendants going out for a cigarette and taking the remote, but they're still broadcasting. And here's what they're saying, quote, nearly one in three Republican candidates for statewide office support false election claims. So why aren't they in prison? And what is the end game of these dangerous extremists led by Donald Trump? Well, Vanity Fair figured it out. They blew the plan wide open, quote. And then there's Donald Trump, Vanity Fair reported. He hasn't been implicated in any murders that we know of, nor is he currently trying to kill anyone, again, that we know of. He is, however, said to be actively plotting to steal the midterm elections and the presidential one after that. End quote. Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
I mean, it's exactly what I was talking.
It's exactly what I've been saying. I mean, what I've been saying.
Yesterday came out with a video of Hillary Clinton saying, we already know that the Republicans are going to
they're trying to gear up to steal the 2024 election.
I'm sitting here going, come on.
Like she has insight. Like she has insight to them. Like they're going to her telling her, hey, we're going to try to steal the 2024 election. We're just letting you know.
In case they lose, they have to have that backup plan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Isn't that ridiculous? Because they, oh my gosh, I can't stand these people.
Okay, well, here's someone you really can't stand. Listen to Warlock.
Warlock.
I know his name is Warnock, but I like to call him Warlock. But listen to what he says about America, what they need to repent over. And he's going to kind of like talk in his preacher's voice. Listen.
No matter what happens next month, more than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness.
What?
On full display.
America needs to repent for its whiteness. That's what he said.
So, and he said with the upcoming elections, which means that this was recent. He's talking about, you know, the elections in November. But he's running against another black guy. So if he wins, is it a worship of whiteness thing?
Well, the thing for him to even make that statement that, you know, America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness. I don't ever recall a white television station. I do know there's a BET. That is a form of worshiping a color.
Oh, there's all black colleges.
I don't ever recall them creating an organization called White Lives Matter. They created one called Black Lives. And that's another worship, right? They create all of these organizations, these policies that cater to black people. Isn't that a form of
blackness?
Of blackness. Isn't that a form of worship?
It can be, yeah.
Straight up. It's a form of worship. And he can sit there and say that America need to repent of his whiteness.
And you came up with that by yourself being a black man?
Are you saying I can't do it?
I mean, I don't know.
According to Joe Biden.
You ain't black.
According to Joe Biden, I ain't black. Right. So, hey, everybody, thank you so much for being with us.
You ain't black.
Oh, there it is. Thank you so much for joining in this evening. We didn't go live yesterday evening. We had some stuff that we had to straighten out, had to work on, but we came live tonight. And I want to thank every one of you for joining in. I wish I knew how you got a notification. I wish I could see if you chimed in because you knew we were going to be here. I see a couple people use the chat here on Podbean, but not a lot. But I'm still honored and privileged that you would actually tune in to hear the information that I have to share with you. You know, my goal is to wake up people, and I'm pretty sure all of you that are listening in right now, you're already awake to what's going on. You like listening to Will Johnson because Will Johnson is confirming what you're seeing. I know that's what it is, because God, I truly believe God is using me to relay the information so that you will know that you're not crazy. You see the stupidity that's going on in the world. And we need to remember that we can lean on God for all of our needs. And even when the stuff gets really bad, because I do believe it's going to get really bad. I really do that. I mean, I hate to be like doom and gloom, but I think it's going to get really bad. But with that said, I think we need to remember that God is with us at all times. So thank you, everybody, for being with us. And it's been a real honor that you would tune in. And someone gave us a Podbean.
Yep, our friend Sherry Tisdale.
Thank you, Sherry, so much for the Podbean. It really means a lot.
And it helps.
It really does. Every little bit helps.
And we don't take it lightly because we know it's hard times for everybody. So we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't complain about it. I had one lady send me 32 cents in a cash at one time, Shannon.
I know.
And she said, I'm so sorry, I can't send you more. And I said, are you kidding me?
Man. You know,
I said, are you kidding me? I said, this is a blessing. And I've always made it clear to people. I said, if you can't send me a donation because of you're going through hard times, I said, you know what? You need to take care of yourself first.
And we just ask for prayers then.
Yeah.
Pray for us that so much. We know God's going to take care of us and he hears your prayers. So we appreciate that as well.
Yep, absolutely. So, okay, everybody, thank you so much. We will be here tomorrow, same time. God bless everybody. Take care.